Hello, and welcome to AP Table Talk, a podcast where we explore board games and what makes them interesting to us. My name is Brian, and I'm joined by someone who, not unlike the Statue of Liberty, many people think he's a New Yorker, but he actually lives in New Jersey.
That's right.
My co-host and cousin, Dave. Dave, how's it going?
Hey, I'm doing good. Thanks for having us back.
Yeah.
Me back.
Yep, ready to,
for the show.
It's been a bit for, we took a little break from recording.
Yep.
But we're back here. Mm-hmm. The listeners won't know the difference, I suppose.
They will definitely not know the difference.
Yes.
What are we talking about today, Brian?
So today, mm-hmm. our episode is about, what are we doing today? We're doing pick up and deliver.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. So when I think of that board game mechanic, first thing that comes to mind is a game where you've got kind of items out on the board, resources or something like that, and mm-hmm. you're moving around, you're trying to collect them mm-hmm. and bring them from one location to another. I think that I kind of group it in with what I think is called like rope building games, but it's a little different. I think rope building, you just connect the points. You don't actually
like
move
transport.
The physically move the goods or move the items from one spot to another.
Yep.
You're just worried about actually making the connections. Like, I think my favorite would probably be Brass Birmingham. I would be like a route building game.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And maybe also Voyages of Marco Polo. I don't know if you have the opportunity to play that, but I remember
I think we have. Building out that, routes. I think that's that. On our list of, is that, that's on Board Game Arena, right?
I
think
that's on my list of ones. I played it in person. I don't know if I
Okay. I don't think I've played it with you.
No.
I think I saw it on there and I added it to my, I want to play that list. Game. So maybe we'll play it in prep for when we do route building.
Right, right. All right. Yeah, I think that is, that covers, I guess, a lot of like what I wanted to talk about too for this mm-hmm. episode. But since you provided your personal definition, Brian, I'm going to provide the definition that is on Board Game Geek.
Sounds good.
So you said, again, in this episode, we're going to be talking about the pick up and deliver mechanic. And by this, we mean, quote from Board Game Geek, this mechanism usually requires players to pick up an item or good at one location on the playing board and bring it to another location on the playing board. Initial placement of the item can be either predetermined or random. The delivery of the good usually gives the player money to do more actions with. And in most cases, there is a game rule or another mechanic that determines where the item needs to go. So that's the official definition from Board Game Geek. Okay. This episode, we're going to dive deeper into what we mean about the pick up and deliver mechanics and games we played. But hopefully that provides you, the audience, with a really good overview on what that mechanic is.
Yeah, they're a little more wordy, but I think I pretty much... I hit the nail.
Basically,
there with my definition.
Take something from one place and bring it to another.
Move it
place
to another. Right.
For money
right.
or points or whatnot. We'll get into the minutiae as the episode goes on.
All right. So, should we get into some examples of mm-hmm. some pick up and deliver? And we'll do our little roll for initiative here.
Yep. So, those of you who are listening who are not familiar with this, both Brian and I, we have a D20, even though we are separated by space, we're both going to roll it at the same time. Whoever rolls the highest number is going to lead off that part of the discussion. So now we're going to both roll at the same time in 3, 2, 1.
All right, I'm ready.
Go.
I got a 12.
I have an 18.
Okay.
All right, so I will...
So the first example mm-hmm. You can give us is, I think we said, kind of the biggest pick up and deliver game in your opinion or the most noteworthy for you.
So I have two that I want to talk about, okay. but I also want to point out when we were doing the research for this episode, I looked up on Board Game Geek the number of pickup and deliver games out there that are tagged with this mechanic, and there's over 2,600 pickup and deliver games. So to say that it is a popular mechanic, I think is highly truthful. So I had a hard time trying to come through with my first example, which is my most noteworthy and biggest pickup and deliver game, in my opinion. So I'm thinking about two right now, and these are okay. games that are earlier in my gaming career, and they're both cooperative games, which I think is funny because neither Brian mm-hmm. or I really like playing cooperative games, with some exceptions, I would say.
But yes, yes.
The number introduced me to some
exceptions to it, but
that's true.
We played. I actually thought you liked cooperative more than I thought, but
yeah. Well, I mean, I guess it's not
more than I like more than me.
That's true. You like the you like the highly competitive games, but
right.
for, I guess right now I'm not playing a lot of cooperative games, but I could in the future. Who knows? I'm open. But yeah, my top two would be the number one cooperative game, Forbidden Desert. And I think it's okay, noteworthy because in Forbidden Desert, unlike Forbidden Island, which is part of the Forbidden line by Matt Leacock, who's the designer, in Forbidden Desert, you need to go about the desert to collect these different items that make up your flying ship in order for all of you to cooperatively escape the desert. So the pick up and deliver part here is to first discover where these items are in the desert by moving around the map, going there, picking up that item, and then bringing it all to the individual like takeoff site. And also,
okay, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, okay. This game has a funny story for me because I went on a date one time and I told the woman that I was into board games and I brought Forbidden Desert with me and we played it on a very too small bistro table. So what I've learned now is that one, probably bringing board games to a first date is not the best move. And two, if you're going to play Forbidden Desert, do not play it on a 12 inch by 12 inch circular like bistro table because that was a bad time. What are you going to say, Brian?
You know, sorry, I'll go back to my other point, but I'll say your first point. I mean, I've been out of the dating game a lot longer than you, but I don't think there's a problem with bringing board games on a date because if you want to meet someone who's into board games, well, you're going to know that right off the bat then.
Yeah, that's well.
I mean, I wouldn't bring like Twilight Imperium. Okay. Well, maybe that's not the board game, huh?
Oh, yeah. Right, I guess not. But again, I like now that I know him, like I probably wouldn't have chosen Forbidden Desert or chosen something that is
I think a light, game would be fine.
Right.
But yeah, again, I wouldn't put Twilight Imperium out on the table or anything like that.
Definitely not. But speaking of light, the second game that comes close to my most noteworthy is Flashpoint Fire Rescue.
Okay. All right. So sorry, let me cut you off there. Okay, just going to go back to Forbidden Desert. So I have played Forbidden Desert before. Mm-hmm. Just to go back and actually now I know you're saying these are actually two cooperative games I have played.
Mm-hmm.
So which I thought was interesting that they're definitely not up there for me, but you have picked two that I have actually played. Yeah, but go ahead onto Flashpoint.
Well, I would even say, Brian, you have Flashpoint Fire Rescue and all of the expansions, correct?
Almost all, yes.
Okay,
yes.
But it still remains couple, gathering dust on your shelf.
We played it. Violet, my wife Violet does like it. Mm-hmm. It was my, I got it as my alternative to Pandemic, which I know is very popular, but it's not up there for me as my favorite game. Although I haven't played any of the like Pandemic Legacy. I wonder if that would change it for me at all.
I hear good things about Pandemic Legacy, so it might,
My gaming group, when I'm not there, they play the World of Warcraft Pandemic. I don't know what's different about that. Yeah. So it's they've been, because Pandemic is so popular, it's now getting the licensing themed treatment of re-releasing under a bunch of themes.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they said there is some differences there, and they're all into video games and stuff, so they enjoy it, and they know that I won't play cooperative games with them, so...
Well, no, there you go. But I'm proud to say that I selected two that you've played before and one of them that you've owned. I'm going to talk a little bit about it later, but Flashpoint Fire Rescue is still tagged as a pickup and deliver game, although I feel like it kind of plays with the convention of what pickup and deliver is, because in Flashpoint you are trying to find different victims in the house, you know, people or pets, and then bring them out of the house. So I guess picking them up from the house and then removing them from the house.
Yeah, I would still say it's not the primary mechanic like that I would think of when I think of Flashpoint, but I would call that the pick up and deliver mechanic.
Yeah.
There are definitely, I will agree though, when I looked at the list on Board Game Geek, there are definitely games tagged as pick up and deliver that I think stretch the definition a little bit.
Yeah.
But we can talk about that in the other segments.
Right. So that's my example number one, Brian. You want to do yours?
Okay, for number one. So my kind of biggest one for me is, I don't know if we've played this together.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you a hint, see if you can figure it out here. It's the design by Paul Denon, who is the designer of my favorite game. I think I would call it my favorite game, Dune Imperium.
Mm-hmm.
And it's... generally, if I had to pick one mechanic for the game, I would actually classify it as a deck building game.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely has pick up and deliver. It has drafting.
Oh,
it's got
Clank?
Some push your luck. Yeah, specifically, I chose Clank in Space for myself because that's the one I own. I like sci-fi more than fantasy. And now, in Clank in Space, so in Clank, you're building a deck and you're moving. So in Clank in Space, you're moving through a ship and you're kind of stowaways. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to steal some treasure and then escape off the ship. In order to do that, you must pick up. Well, you're gathering treasure, but you're also gathering items that allow you to unlock further to get further into the ship, and you have to bring them from one place to the other, which is the pick up and deliver. Now, I'm assuming there are similar mechanics in Clank, but yeah, so that's I wouldn't call it the primary mechanic that I would think of, but it does. It has that pick up and deliver aspect to it.
Yeah, I think I do bring up Clank later on in the show, but it does, it does have pick up and deliver in it because you're trying to get those relics, at least in the vanilla original Clank. Right. Clank in Space, I think I've only played once, but it's generally the same, I'd say, just
a game. Yeah. I think the one thing that I like sci-fi more, but the reason I went with that one when I bought it was there was a mechanic that you can do in Clank where you can essentially run in, grab one piece, and then just run out immediately. Mm-hmm. In Clank in Space, they made it so that you have to reach this particular terminal inside the ship before you can get to the escape pods to leave.
Oh, I see.
So that strategy of just running in and just running out is eliminated from Clank in Space.
Oh, I see.
And I thought that, you know what? With some of the guys I game with, I could see them just doing that.
Nice. Well, that's a solid first example.
All right. Okay, so we'll move on to the second. So this is your first pick up and deliver that you ever played or that you recall playing.
Okay, and it's going back to me now?
Yeah.
Okay. So again, I have two here. The first pick up and deliver game I ever played, Bri, I think you remember this. It's Istanbul. That's what was tagged on BGG.
Okay.
I remember playing it with you down in the basement, ironically, where you're recording right now.
Yes, yes.
So I had never played a game like that before, and I thought that the objective and the outcome is quite clear, because someone who was just discovering like modern tabletop games for the first time is like, okay, I pick up something here, I move it here, I turn it in for money, or I forget what else, points or something else. So I would say Istanbul would be the first pick up and deliver game I played. In addition, I also want to say that when it comes to addressing pick up and deliver games now, if I were to introduce someone to the mechanic, I would actually choose this game, and I don't know if you're familiar with it, called Deep Sea Adventure. It's by Oink. It's one of the small box games.
No, I am not familiar with that one.
This one, again, it pushes the definition of pick up and deliver, but basically it is a small box game where everyone's rolling dice, and those dice determine how far, quote unquote, you can dive with your diver. And the deeper you dive, the more likely you are to pick up like a really worthwhile treasure that's worth more points.
Okay.
However, all the divers that are diving that you're competing with, the other players, you all share the same oxygen supply. Kind of the quote unquote timer. Like you could dive down deeper to get something bigger, but you're going to take longer to come up. And once the oxygen supply runs out, anyone who's not back just loses whatever treasure they have. So I'd say Istanbul's the first one, but if I were to introduce someone to their first pick up and deliver game, I would choose Deep Sea Adventure. How about you?
So I actually think we played Istanbul at PAX first.
Oh, PAX East? I thought I remember playing it.
Yeah. We probably did because when we played it with your buddies at PAX.
Yeah.
I bought it after that because I enjoyed that game a lot. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the first pick up and deliver game that I played, and I had to do some research to remember, the game. Mm-hmm. It was a long time. This is like, I played it back in early 2000s. I was in, second or third year, I think. And it has, I don't think you'll guess this one, but I'm going to give you some hints and see if you can get it.
Let's see.
So it's got network building. Mm-hmm. It's got pick up deliver. Mm-hmm. It's got worker placement. Mm-hmm. And it's got, time travel.
Is it an acronym?
not that is a mechanic, but it is a, I don't think you can get it. It's called Bus.
Bus?
I don't know if you've ever played the game called Bus. B-U-S.
No, I've never played that game.
Okay, so it was designed by I don't know how to say his name, Jerian Duman and mm-hmm. Joris Wierzynga. Mm-hmm. It's from 1999. Mm-hmm. I remember playing it. Somebody had introduced it, and this was kind of when I started getting into the designer board games. Mm-hmm. And I had to find a picture of the board to kind of remember. So it's kind of like a city. The board is a city, and you're placing down different locations. I believe it was like a pub, a home, and a jobs. Mm-hmm. And you place people on the board, and on your turn, time goes around to different times of the day. And when it's nighttime, you have to get people home. Mm-hmm. Daytime, you get people to work, mm-hmm. and evening, you get people to the pub.
Oh, interesting.
And so depending on what time it is on your turn, you're trying to create bus routes where you can, so you're creating the network where you're moving the people from whatever location they were in the last round, mm-hmm. and trying to get them to that, the location they're supposed to be based on the date.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And you do this by placing the worker placement part. And I actually think this might be one of the earliest worker placement games, mm-hmm. because that's pretty early for a worker placement game, I think. Mm-hmm. So you're doing worker placement to do actions where you're building your routes or choosing to put people down. And one of the options you can do is actually stop time.
Oh,
but okay. Every time you do that, you add a counter, and it's actually an end game counter. Because I think if you stop time a certain number of times, you break the space-time continuum.
That's very
strange.
Thematic.
Yep. And I would actually like to find... I think this game probably still holds up. Mm-hmm. I believe there was actually a remake. I missed it. There was a someone kind of did a remake of it. Mm-hmm. I don't know when, but... and I think I missed it. It was probably right when I had gotten into Kickstarter or something. And they redid all the art and everything and made it nice. But it's a little obscure, but I think it has a little bit of a following when I read the forums and stuff, when I was trying to figure out what game it was.
Oh,
so yeah, Bus was the first
I want to play it.
And deliver game I played.
Do you have it?
Yeah. I would like to find it, but it's so old and out of print that I don't know. I know that new version, mm-hmm. they're selling for a lot. So I might get you to look for it a little bit in the States, because you'll probably have a better chance of finding it. I'll talk to you later about that.
I mean, I really want to play. 99 is not that, I think, inaccessible. I think you should be able to find it.
The new version would have been made much later than that.
Oh,
like 99 was when the original came out.
Right. But I mean, if you're even looking for an original copy, I don't know. I mean, I'm intrigued.
Yeah, honestly, I would take the new version, because that's probably easier to get and wouldn't be nearly as expensive.
Yeah, that's true.
So
cool. Bus.
But we should definitely try and hunt that one down.
Yeah. All right. Do number three.
So which one is this one? Your favorite pick up and deliver game.
Okay. So I'm leading again.
Yeah, go for it.
All right. So I've got I got two again that I want to offer up here. So my number one, I would say, which is ironic because I don't think I've ever won the game, would be Caravan. Because we played it at PAX East a few years ago. I remember it was like two games I picked up. It was Caravan and Kerala. And I like Caravan a lot, even though I lost.
Was Kerala the elephant one?
Kerala is the elephant one, yeah.
Kerala's
still on my want and trade list. But I picked up Caravan. And I liked it because it was just basically like, it's just pick up and deliver in its purest form, right? It's just goods appear here. Bring it here.
It's a solid game.
For points, right? But they have the thief token, which has a smidge of like, take that. You know what I mean?
Right. Yes.
And I don't feel like I use the thief enough. I basically just play it like as a logistics game of like, okay, how can I get this good here from here to here in the least amount of turns possible? And then I completely forget about the thief. And then
I also don't tend to use the thief. But I do try to block your path, because you have to pay it if you want to put your... So in this case, you're placing your camels down, and you're basically creating a connection mm-hmm. to try and bucket brigade goods to a certain location.
Yep.
And if you want to place your camel on a place where an opponent's camel is already, you have to, it's an extra action, because you get, what is it, four actions on your turn or whatever. Yeah. I don't necessarily use the thief token enough either, mm-hmm. but I do try to block your path a lot.
Okay, well, that makes a lot more sense as to why I was like constantly behind in the point race. I'm like, why am I like, I'm just keep the gap keeps getting bigger and
right.
bigger.
Right. It's one of those things, action economy. I like to.
Well, I got to think about that.
Min-max that.
But I was going to say my only other real regret about that game is that, you know, depending on where your camel is, when there's a restock action, so when there's new goods coming on the table,
right.
If you're in the right position, you just could get gifted an opportunity where you just have like a two-move delivery to make.
There is a little bit of, could be a little bit of luck that swings in that one, but it's not too bad. I mean, for the weight of the game, I think that's acceptable.
Right.
I agree. I like that game too.
And then,
that was another one we played in preparation for this episode. Actually,
yeah, we played that on VGA.
Yeah.
I
actually forgot about the when the new goods come out because I remember you kind of camp
on that spot
on your spots because it makes any good that hasn't been picked up. Mm-hmm. It increases their value by one, and the new goods come out and stuff. So you kind of don't want to be the one who causes it to refresh.
Yeah.
You want to leave it for the other person to do.
Exactly. On a side note, I really like from a tactile sensation how all the camels are designed in such a way so that they fit the cube the good under, right on its
right.
back. And yes, if you steal it, it fits it immediately underneath the camel too.
Yes.
So production quality for the components I think is great, even though I haven't been able to win a game of Caravan. But okay, second game I would say other than Caravan, I would actually go with Star Wars Outer Rim, which was also indicated on BGG as a pick up and deliver. But I think it's funny here because for those who don't know, Star Wars Outer Rim, you're playing like the bounty hunters, the smugglers, the scoundrel, the kind of like the scum of the galaxy. So sometimes you're working as a bounty hunter, sometimes you're working as a smuggler, but you got to take like your bounty or your smuggle goods from one part of the galaxy to the other part. Which I think is cool and I think fits in with the theme of this game and what it's meant to be. But I like that aspect because I feel like, again, pick up and deliver is a very clean mechanic. I just take the goods from here, I bring them over there, get some cash, and then I move on my way.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. So I own Star Wars Outer Rim and it was in my shortlist for my favorite pick up and deliver. However, I've played that with my gaming group and we feel that it needs something. We house ruled a couple things after a couple games. Certain things like the patrols, they didn't feel impactful enough.
No.
It felt like it needed a little work still. I haven't played the expansion Unfinished Business.
I haven't played that either.
So I wouldn't, it will probably, when I eventually pick that up, it'll probably hit the table again with them. And we'll see if that improves it for me. Mm-hmm. The game I did pick for my favorite is actually, you picked it in a previous choice of yours.
Oh, okay.
Is actually Istanbul.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Again, the reason I remember playing it at PAX, from the first time we played that, I love that game. Mm-hmm. It has a lot of things I like.
Right.
I love the modular board, which gives you kind of that variable starting. Mm-hmm. I like kind of trying to hunt down that that efficient path. It's almost like path building, engine building kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It just a lot of the interesting way that you use your assistance to kind of move around the board. You have to either kind of land on one or leave one. That was really interesting to me. That's actually my favorite pick up and deliver game on my picks here.
Istanbul.
So nice. Yeah.
Number one.
No for
runners
me.
Up.
it might've been Star Wars. And you know what? I'm looking at that. I don't know if it's on GameFound.
Yeah.
They're doing a re-release, deluxified release of Firefly, the game, with all the expansions in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking about backing that.
Oh, okay. Well, I can't say I'm a fan of the Firefly IP because I never watched it. But I hear then
you're missing out. You need to watch that first of all.
Well, that and like The Expanse, and you tried to turn me on to, and I was like, I tried to watch The Expanse, and I was like,
Expanse
I don't know,
is much
really getting into
I,
it.
I think you would like Firefly. You should definitely watch Firefly. And it's not a big commitment, and you'll be sad after when you find out.
Well, it's only like two seasons, isn't it?
And a movie, yeah.
Oh, there's a movie.
So they like crowdfunded a movie, essentially.
Mm, I see.
But yeah, I might get that. And so Star Wars Outer Rim was kind of labeled as Firefly Lite.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So,
right. Well, I so do
maybe,
like,
maybe the things that I'm missing are in the Firefly game.
Nice.
So,
All right. Does that bring us to the end of
okay, so that's that our, yeah, that's our examples.
Okay.
So we'll move on to our discussions of kind of what we like and don't like about the mechanic itself,
okay,
just in general. Mm-hmm. So shall we do our roll for initiative again?
Yep. So we're going to roll our D20s. Whoever has the highest right roll is going to lead. So 3, 2, 1, all roll.
Right, here we go. I got 15.
All right. I have 2.
Okay. All right. So I'll start us off it here on my first like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So a really simple one for me to start with is just conceptually, the mechanic is very simple to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that because of that, it works really well with pretty much any theme. And like you can, I mean, obviously there's the obvious ones. I mean, railroad game and shipping games are very popular.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Age of Steam and Steam and all those games will fit into the pick up and deliver very easily. But outside of that, I mean, we've talked about space games, there are pirate games that could easily fit that. Western games like Western Legends, I think, has some pick up and deliver. I like that game as well. And yeah, just it's a mechanic that can very easily fit into anything. It's easy to understand, and easy to teach, I think, because a beginner wouldn't have a problem understanding. Like, oh yeah, okay, so you're just trying to get this item from here to there. And that's it.
Yeah, exactly. I think that. Did you have anything else to add? I wanted to go into.
You can go ahead on, or if you have something to talk about that one, or one of your likes, and we'll go back and forth.
Oh yeah. Well, my first like is actually, I think, almost exactly the same as what you said. So it's clear directive and direction. Like you said, it's very easy to teach someone who's new to tabletop games, board games, particularly with something like Caravan, which is what I use for the example, because it's like you have action points. It costs an action to place a camel. It costs an action to pick up a good. It costs an action to move the good along your line of camels. And then you deliver it, and then you get points based on it. Mm-hmm. So, like I said before, it's very much like a logistics game, at least for me. That's how I was looking at the
Absolutely,
Caravan.
Yes.
I have another game as an example, but is there anything else, Brian, you wanted to provide for like number one?
No, that's pretty much it. Go ahead and give your okay. Your example on that.
So the funny part here, and I remember this going back to like when we were kids, is do you remember Dragon Realms, the text-based online RPG?
Yes, I do remember Dragon Realms.
Okay, so this reminds me of Dragon Realms because I had two characters on Dragon Realms. The first character was a thief. Do you remember what the profession of the second character was?
I don't. I'm surprised because I would usually remember these kind of things, but I don't know why this is blanking for me.
Well, the second character was a trader. And the trader basically is you have a caravan of mules. You go to one city, you go to the trading outpost, you load up your caravan of mules with a bunch of stuff, and then you bring it to the other town, to the trading outpost there, you deliver it, and then you gain money. And I remember I was like, could I be a thief? Or could I be like this middle-aged trucker? You know, middle ages trucker in this realm. And I spent most of my time being the trader, and I would take the money from the trader and I would give it to my thief character, and I had my thief like buy a bunch of like crazy weapons and stuff. But basically that's why I liked it. I was just like, even my friend was like making fun of me because like you could be any character, and you decided to be like a trucker in this universe. And I was like, yeah, it's really easy to make this money. You know, you just pick up stuff from one place, you deliver it to another, and they pay you off. That's it.
That is oh man, it's been a long time since I thought about that game.
It's still going. I don't know if you know that.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Like,
it,
I think they still have a subscription service, but there's still like a demand for text-based RPG.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so I'll go on to my next one. And we've kind of touched on it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Is really just that I really enjoy kind of planning out and making those efficient moves and paths where maybe it's that I'm in caravan. Maybe it's, I can deliver 3 goods on this one path and block you at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Or in Outer Rim is like, okay, well, I have to go all the way to the other side of the galaxy, but I can pick up a bounty here and pick up some upgrades here on the way and getting your moves kind of efficiently using, just stopping at the right points and having it all kind of fit together is really fulfilling when that works out.
Yeah. I think that are you done, Bright? Do you want me to go?
Yeah, go ahead.
So you talked about it as that efficiency move with Caravan. Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit different here. I said I like it because it's a motion-oriented mechanic. And in my specific example here was Mint Delivery, which is part of the Minton games, yes. Which is exactly as you think it would be. It's a pickup deliver in game in a Minton. And you're again trying to figure out, like, what is the biggest bang for your buck? Like, if I have these actions, how do I get these goods from this factory over to this location in order to, you know, basically like return it for points or cash or money or something else that helps like my little game engine? And I think that when I specifically said it's a motion oriented mechanic. Because the other thing I was thinking about is, and I looked this up on like as a TV trope. And as, you know, Star Wars fans, we both watched The Mandalorian. And I feel like a lot of like what fans like to say is like, this episode is just a Mando fetch quest. He's just got to go to point A, pick up the MacGuffin or whatever, and then bring it to point B. And that's the episode. So whenever you need like someone to do something, like a pickup and deliver a fetch quest is a very like solid narrative convention in order to get that character to do it, I feel.
Interesting take on that because... Mm-hmm. It's almost one of, I guess not, it's definitely your basic RPG, your basic RPG quest.
Yeah, exactly.
That first quest of like either take this, it's either the pick up and deliver quest or the go kill some rats quest. That's your two first quests.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, awesome. Okay, well, I'll go on to my third here, mm-hmm. Is that, and again, it's something we touched on earlier, the mechanic, because of its simplicity, it really synergizes well with other mechanics. Mm-hmm. Point-to-point movement, obviously. We've talked about games with drafting, with rope building. It can fit in with auctions and bidding. I know we've talked about other games with contracts, mm-hmm. filling contracts with your pickup and deliver. In fact, your game that we worked on together, Air Sloop, I would say. Yeah, Air Sloop mm-hmm. has contracts and kind of pick up and deliver.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So that's something I like as, something to use in trying to design games.
Mm-hmm. It's
just something that really, it's a simple mechanic and it can really just kind of fit in with almost anything.
Yeah, I would even say that it's easy to add, take away. Well, I don't know about take away, but I think it's easy to add to a game that already has a lot of other mechanics going on.
Right. And
it's something I want to talk about later. My like would be similar to yours. I would say like it resonates really well on a theme of picking up and deliver things or people. And I have three examples here. So number one is that Air Sloop, which is the game that mm-hmm. I designed and Brian helped co-develop. That game is very much a pick up and deliver, pick up goods from one location, deliver it to another location, but you pick up the goods by traveling through different territories of that color. So it's something that I've used in my own designs and I feel pretty close to. However, and I'm going to discuss this a little bit more later in this episode, we've talked about pick up and deliver with items. Another Kickstarter game that I have that I actually don't think gets a lot of love, but I think it's great, is Taxi Derby. And Taxi Derby is exactly what it sounds. It's basically you're driving taxis or Ubers or rideshare or whatever. You're picking up people from one location, you're dropping them off at another location to earn money for fares. You can turn that money into buying upgrades for your car so you can hold more passengers or you have like a better stereo system or you're faster so you can outrun the cops and other things. And then there's another game, which I haven't had the opportunity to play yet, but I want to, which is Freedom, the Underground Railroad, where you're trying to help people who are previously enslaved leave those states through the Underground Railroad. So I think in Taxi Derby and Freedom, the Underground Railroad, those are two games that are tagged as pick up and deliver, but we have almost exclusively talked about just items so far, but these two games also use, people as the components for moving them from one location to the other.
Yeah. I mean, I had bus, that mm-hmm. was people.
Oh, that's right.
But yeah, I agree. Yeah. And I guess Star Wars Outer Rim kind of, kind of has everything.
Yeah, a little bit
there's
of everything.
There's bounties, there's items, mm-hmm. Smuggling. But yeah, no, I agree. You generally think of resources first.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was it for my likes. Okay. Did you have more likes to
go
on?
I've got no more likes.
Okay. So we'll move on to dislikes here. So I've got a couple.
Okay. Wait, Brian, are we going to die roll for this or do you want to?
It doesn't. We can keep going or do you want to die roll?
Let's die roll. Keep it consistent. All right. So let's die roll for initiative. All right. I'm ready. One, roll.
I got a 6.
All right. I have a 2 again. So you lead.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. So I just have a couple here. Mm-hmm. My first one, outside of my gaming group, I generally play low player count, mm-hmm. generally 2 players actually. Mm-hmm. And what I find with a lot of pickup and deliver games, that I dislike is that low player counts can have, very low player interaction in a lot of games.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they specifically, now there are ways to counter that. Like some games will reduce the size of the board. Mm-hmm. And things like that. But I do find that generally if you have more players, you're going to have more player interaction, which I prefer. Yep. I prefer to have more because it's more take that opportunities for me.
Mm-hmm. mine is that I think, and you might talk about this later, but mm-hmm. I think that there's a fine line between pick up and deliver and contracts. Because something can be pick up and deliver and contracts. But I think sometimes things get misnamed as pick up and deliver when it's really just a contract.
Yes, yes. And yeah. I agree. I think we probably might touch on that same thing later.
Yeah.
And you know what? Maybe, okay, you know, I did have something else to say about my first one. I realized. I talked about my favorite pick up and deliver game, Istanbul.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually have not picked up either expansion for it, mm-hmm. even though it's my favorite. Because what each expansion in that game, the board that you move around is a 4x4 grid mm-hmm. that is randomly or semi-randomly arranged mm-hmm. Locations. And each expansion adds either a column or a row to it. Oh, and if you have both expansions, it creates it into as big as a 5x5 board. Mm-hmm. And one of the complaints about that is that if you play at lower player count, the bigger the board, you can kind of end up not interacting with each other. And to me, that's a big part of that game is kind of getting in the other opponent's way. So if you play with lower player counts, it's like, oh, you're better off not playing with the expansions.
Mm-hmm.
And since I mostly play at 2 or sometimes 3,
mm-hmm.
I opted to not pick up those expansions.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. I remember you talking about that, and that makes a lot of mm-hmm. sense, especially if you want interaction. I was talking about pick up and deliver and contracts before.
Yes,
because
yes.
I don't know if you're going to mention this, but we played Chocolate Factory on Board Game Arena, mm-hmm. and that is tagged as pick up and deliver. But I would argue to say that I don't think it's pick up and deliver. I think it's more contracts than anything.
Yeah. So I mean, I guess you can get into the discussion of where something is delivered. Like you could argue that, I am. In Monopoly,
mm-hmm.
I am picking up money from you when you land on my property mm-hmm. and delivering it to my pile of money. And I'm like, I don't think that fits within the spirit of what a pick up and deliver game is. Like, I think it needs to be a location on the board
mm-hmm.
that you are like, have some sort of agency in actually moving an item from one location to the other.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree.
Yeah.
It is.
So yeah. I mean, Chocolate Factory was strange.
Yeah, I know. It was on my want in trade list. And after playing it, I was like, I don't know if I really dig this game. It's by Alley Cat. I don't know if you played mm-hmm. other Alley Cat games, but I own Dice Hospital. And there's a lot of the same like structure. But I like Dice Hospital because it's cute.
I've seen you play Dice Hospital on BGA a bunch. I have not played it.
It's good.
I should play that one with you too.
It's not a whole lot of player interaction, I would say. It's mostly just drafting. That's the thing in both games. But it's,
I found the same. Yeah, yeah, same with Chocolate Factory. It was like, okay, other than the draft, and even the draft was done in a funny way.
In groups of cards, right?
It's like grouped. So if you pick one from one group, then that whole group gets eliminated for the other person.
Right.
Which was, I don't know. I just, I don't, I'm sure there's, it changes something, but I was like, well, could they just, is it just so that there's more options out there? Is that the way it is at higher player counts? I'm not sure, but yeah, it was just strange.
Yeah, I'm glad I got to play it, but I don't think it's a game that I would go out on my way to play again.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
You have a second dislike, okay. Brian?
Yeah, I do have a second one. Okay. One of the things that makes me like Istanbul that is a dislike is that if you don't have some variability, mm-hmm. or if a game, if a more strictly pick up and deliver game, mm-hmm. Doesn't have a good timing where the game kind of drags.
Yep.
I feel like it can start to feel very repetitive, very samey, like mm-hmm. you're just running the same route over and over again. Mm-hmm. So for example, in Caravan, if there wasn't the randomness of which goods came out, like if the same goods came out, I feel like you would get into this is my most efficient route mm-hmm. and I'm just going to do this over and over and over again. Same with Istanbul. Like there's a suggested starting setup for the location tiles. Yep. And when I was introducing that game to people, I ended up playing that same beginner setup a few times in a row. Mm-hmm. And I started to really dislike, I just decided I would start teaching it with the randomness because right. it was just like, okay, well, I'm going to destroy these people because I already know that I can do this, this, this. Mm-hmm. And unless they know to stop me, they're going to be suboptimal.
Right, right. So, I mean, that's a case for a modular board setup, right?
Right. That's more that I like variability, but definitely if it's not taken care of in a pickup and deliver, I can see that as a weakness of it. It definitely has to be taken into account, I think.
I see. Okay. My second.
Did you have anything else for? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Are we on second dislike right now?
Second. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So mine, I titled, it can be convoluted if the reward or reason is not clear for pick up and deliver. And again, I'm going back to an example of a game that we talked about before, which is Star Wars Outer Rim.
Okay.
Again, it has pick up and deliver. You can pick up yes. goods, smuggled goods, or people if you're a bounty hunter. But what I thought was funny, and I remember reading this in the book when I was trying to learn it to play for it one mm-hmm. day, which is what if you pick up a bounty for a character that is on your crew? Because that happened to me. Like I had Chewbacca yes. as a bounty and Chewbacca was in my crew. It's like, right. well, you can do, and I remember the rule book saying like, you can do two things. You can ignore it and you just don't get yep. anything. Or you could like turn over your crew member as a bounty. Yeah. And I was like, that doesn't make like this crew member is providing me some sort of utility. You know, like I feel like I would be hard pressed to give him up. But then I was like, I guess thematically it works because I'm scum, yeah, right?
I think you got to think about it thematically. You got to think about does the payoff of the bounty yeah. outweigh the benefit you're getting from that crew member?
I guess,
and yeah. you talked about not watching Firefly mm-hmm. and this situation, without spoiling anything, because I think you should go and watch Firefly, mm-hmm. this situation kind of comes up sort of in a okay. manner of speaking. So I think thematically it works actually. And I get your point about if things are unclear, mm-hmm. but I think in that game it works.
Okay.
Because of the theme.
Yeah. Now that I think about it with a theme, it works. But at the time I was like, this makes no yes. sense. Why would I turn over my own crew? I need them to like this ship or whatever needs two crew to pilot. And like, right. if I give them up, then I'm not gonna be able to fly the ship. You know?
It's actually great when it's, the bounty is on someone else's crew.
Oh yeah, and you got to go hunt them.
That's great because then it's like now I really have a reason. It can't just be like, oh, you're close to me, so I'm just taking pot shots. He's like, nope, I'm going to hunt you down.
All right, should we go?
That was it for dislikes for me. Did you have more?
Yeah, I have one more.
Okay, go ahead.
So dislike number three for me is I titled this: if it's the main mechanic, then make it significant. If not, then make it simple. And I have two examples I'd like to talk about here. The first one is a game called Niagara. And what's interesting about this is that it's a Spiel des Jahres winner from 2005. So I guess ancient news when it comes to hobby board games, but you know, mm-hmm. I quote unquote relatively new since we talked about Bus from 1999. But yes. if you've never played Niagara before, I played this for the first time on a camp out, and it's pretty cool because it is a game that you use the box as the board. And it's okay. set up like the Niagara River. And the Niagara River is like a dual-layered cutout. And the game provides you with these like acrylic plastic discs. And on those discs is where you put a canoe And on that canoe is, that canoe sits on a plastic disc. And as the game goes on, when you take turns, you move those plastic discs down the river and it moves all of the other discs like off the board. When you fall off the board, that's okay. When you go over Niagara Falls, basically.
Okay, gotcha.
So it was, it's cool and it's set up because there's a fork in the river and you don't really know what side of the fork your canoe's going to end up on. So there's some variability there. But basically, that is like the quote unquote toy factor for the game.
Gotcha.
The pick and deliver part is the reason you're in this canoe is because there are these gems that are for some reason on the river, and the most valuable gems grow right next to the Niagara Falls. So you want to get in a position where you're close enough to the falls, where your canoe is there to pick up a gem,
okay.
And then you use cards to paddle quickly so you don't fall off the falls. And once you get back to a point, you unload your gems, and then you go back in the river to pick up some other gem. The theme is a little bit pasted on, but I really like the toy factor. It's a really cool game to put on the table and play.
Yeah, I've seen that game mentioned a lot, and I've never played it. Is that one on Board Game Arena?
That is on Board Game Arena, yeah.
Huh, so I might have to give that one a try, yeah. I don't know why. Sometimes I see these games and they're talked about a lot, so clearly they're kind of like staples if they've stuck around that long, but if it just doesn't catch me early, I just kind of ignore it for the longest time. And I was like, you know what? If it's been around, I probably should at least give it a play.
Yeah, you should play it at least one. I played it a few times on BGA, but there's not a big following for it, so there's not a lot of games going on. The second game I bring this up with, and I go back to my title, if it's not going to be significant, then make it simple. Niagara, that's basically it. Other than the toy factor of the canoes, it's pick up and deliver. You're picking up gems, you try to bring them back so that you can get points for them. When I played Merchants of the Dark Road, it had pick up and deliver in a whole host of other mechanics. Did you get to play Merchants of the Dark Road, Brian?
I have not played that one.
That one's kind of like a big sprawling Euro game. There's a lot going on. There's like contract fulfillment. There's pick up and deliver. There's like hidden missions and other things. It has a kind of a cool rondel mechanic. But I just kind of felt overwhelmed by everything that the game had to offer. And when it got into the pick up and deliver, I'm like, I don't even want to worry about that. I'm trying to worry about how I'm going to get these people inside of my cart so I can bring them around to score points to do these other things. And I just felt it was like, let's throw some pick up and deliver in this game and it'll, like add some flavor. But for me, I was like, I prefer games that, find that one thing and do that one thing really well. You can do multiple things, but I think they should serve that single purpose.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. All right. So that's it for me for dislikes. You got anything else?
Okay. So yeah, no, I think we're done with the likes and dislikes. So we can move on to kind of our twists and variations on pick up and deliver.
Yeah. Yeah. And we are going to lead with a die roll again.
Sure.
Okay, so I'm going to roll on my side. Three, two, one.
I got a 5.
I have 16.
Oh, all right.
So back to me.
Yes.
All right, so I've got 3 twists and variations. And then my number one, we talked a little bit about this before, is the difference between beings versus goods when you're picking up and delivering them. So I know that, we talked about this earlier before. One thing I wanted to point out is that Jeff Engelstein, who again wrote the book on board game mechanics that we're basing a lot of this podcast on, he was actually part of a study, that included, Brad, do you remember the game, Diamant or Ink and Gold? Have you ever played that? It's like a push your luck game.
Sounds familiar. I'm trying to remember if I've played it.
It's basically you were trying to like go into this temple to pick up like treasures, but there could be like curses or creatures in the temple.
I think I might have played it. Yeah. Anyways, go on. I think I might have played it.
So the reason I bring this up is because in this study, which I'll link to in the show notes, Jeff uses this game and specifically tries to determine what affects the player experience. And what he discovered was that people were less likely to push their luck in a game like Ink and Gold, where you're trying to push your luck to gain treasures. Then they took the same game and they rethemed it to something like Flashpoint Fire Rescue, which is how much do you want to push your luck to try to rescue this puppy
or this interesting person?
And with the theme changed, people were much more likely to push their luck to try to rescue someone than to try to gain treasures, which I think is unique.
Kind of putting that emotional investment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then the second part I wanted to add here is there's a game called Train by Brenda Romero, designed in 2009 or released in 2009. Are you familiar with this game, Brian?
No.
Okay. So in this game, it was more designed as a art piece than anything else. But it was, and when I did some research on it, players are tasked with transporting passengers along a railway before their opponents do the same. So you talked about like railway and line route yep. building and everything else before. So it's basically the same thing. So we see that very familiar pickup and delivery mechanic at the in play here. However, since this game was developed as an art piece, at the end, it's revealed to players that the final destination for all of these passengers that they've been transporting is to a Nazi concentration camp because players have been participating in a Holocaust. So what I think is subverted here is that, you know, you as the player are just like, okay, this is the goal. I just bring these people to this place on this line, but you never really think about it. And I think that this game design as an art piece is meant to kind of evoke the same. Like, we don't really consciously think about mm-hmm. who we're moving in the game, but this game kind of replicates that real world, you know, scenario in which this took place and gets people to think about it. So I would say that there's a difference really in pick up and deliver between transporting beings and also transporting goods.
Right.
Yeah,
no, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Okay. Well, mm-hmm. yeah, sorry.
I have nothing else. You want to go for your first variation?
So first is that, there's definitely some variation in some games that have the locations are predetermined.
Mm-hmm.
For example, we've brought up Caravan a lot. Mm-hmm. So the delivery locations are predetermined or random, mm-hmm. where Outer Rim, for example, is, well, I mean, I guess they're predetermined in the scenario cards, but you don't know that until you get it. There's some randomization, which kind of keeps things, again, goes back to that variability, but could be effect of balance mm-hmm. of the game and things like that. I think of Great Western Trail
mm-hmm.
of delivering the cattle. So your place that you're delivering is always static.
Yeah, the towns or cities you're delivering.
Right, you? Right. Things like that. And I mean, I guess that can also be... this could be similar or a second point, but those objectives of what you're delivering or picking up can be open information or it could be hidden.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that goes back to almost drawing that line between contract fulfillment and pick up and deliver.
Yeah, I would say so.
But yeah, that's some variations you can have on that mechanic as well. Mm-hmm. Do you have some more?
Yeah, I have a number two, which actually builds off of yours, because mm-hmm. I would like to, I titled this one, I would like to see more combined hidden movement and pick up and deliver.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever played the game Fury of Dracula? It's like an all-versus-one game.
Yeah, I've heard of it, and compared to, I guess, maybe the evolution of Scotland Yard, which I still have my original copy of Scotland Yard.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
But Fury of Dracula is an all versus one game because one player plays as Dracula and mm-hmm. Dracula has hidden movement throughout the map and other players play as the vampire hunters like Van Helsing who are trying to find and end Dracula.
Right.
That was my very first hidden movement game, like all versus one hidden movement game. And I thought it was really cool because basically we were playing as like a cooperative team to try to find out where Dracula was and Dracula was doing you know, his thing to try to evade us. But I think that not having that transparency of not knowing like exactly what you're going to pick up, exactly mm-hmm. where you're going to deliver it, and or exactly like how much the payoff is, I think would be an interesting change because usually those are transparent things.
Right.
Usually they're transparent because you need to make an educated decision on like what route or contract is worth more. But I think combining hidden pickup and deliver would like to with hidden movement. Like in an all versus one Fury of Dracula, I haven't seen before, but I would like to see. I think that would be pretty interesting.
Yeah, I think it would be an interesting exercise in design because mm-hmm. I think my the first thing that comes to mind as a challenge is with that much information unavailable, does that limit kind of the opponent's like how much they're able to do for player interaction? Because if they don't know what you're doing or where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Then is there any sort of strategy or how do you make it so that there is still a feeling that they can do something to hinder you or get ahead of you with so little information.
Yeah.
I think it would be an interesting exercise to design that.
I mean, like, now that you think about it, like, if it was like Fury of Dracula and you mm-hmm. just had like a pick up and deliver element, if you just know that Dracula has to go to this location, you guys can just right. like stake out that location. But I would probably change it to, and say, like, in round one, Dracula can deliver it to sites A, B, or C.
You don't know. Now you have to kind of like
split
do
up.
Do you cover, do you split up all the, to all of them? Do you kind of group up?
And there's like six entry points to each or four entry points. So you can't cover all of them and you don't know the order in which Dracula will try to deliver. So,
So
you have some knowledge, but not enough to make, you know, like an overwhelming strategic decision, I'd say. You know,
so it's not quite pick up and deliver, mm-hmm. but some similar situation that I'm remembering. I have a game. I've only played the first or maybe the first two scenarios, mm-hmm. Called Earth Reborn.
Oh, I haven't heard of that.
It's kind of a miniatures game. You have two teams, and there's a bunch of scenarios, and it's basically very very much like XCOM.
Oh, okay. Yep.
So it was easy for me to pick up and not so easy for Violet to pick up, which I was surprised that she wanted to play it. Mm-hmm. But she couldn't understand line of sight on a grid. So that's where we kind of got stuck with that and then didn't play again. But so in one of the early learning scenarios, one team is infiltrating and I believe they're trying to release recover a prisoner. Mm-hmm. And the other side is defending, and there are tokens that are used to represent possible locations of the prisoner. Mm-hmm. And you have three tokens, but only one of them has the prisoner. And so you put them on the board, and the attacking team or the attacking player knows they have to go to one of those locations, mm-hmm. but doesn't know which one has the prisoner in it. Just kind of tagging on to the design idea is like maybe an idea like that where, okay, you know you have these locations, but you know you don't need to go to all of them. You kind of have to pick one of them. Mm-hmm. And it might be the wrong one, it might be the right one. And as the defending side, you know which one is it. But if you send all your guys to defend the one where you know that the prisoner is, they're going to know that that's where the prisoner is, or you can bluff it, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
so it was an interesting little exercise there that I think you can maybe apply that to that idea.
What game was that?
That was called Earth Reborn.
Earth Reborn. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I haven't tried that, but I'd like to.
It's a big box. Okay. We can play that next time you're visiting.
okay. What are we on? Twists and Variations 3?
Yeah. So I have another one and I couldn't, I couldn't come up with an example. So maybe you would, but I was thinking about whether, you could have pick up and deliver if you're always doing pick up and deliver games on a common board, or if there are games where you're doing pick up and deliver on your own board. Mm. And I generally think of ones where you're playing on a common board, but maybe you can think of, I didn't know if you could think of any where you each have your own board and you're doing pick up and deliver. You know, and I didn't know if that would be too isolated for that mechanic.
You know, I don't know. I can't think of anything, at least it stays within the spirit of pick up and deliver, that is
like
a personal scale board that you're only doing there.
Right. Yeah. I couldn't think of one.
Yeah.
And I felt like there with so many pick up and deliver games, there must be one. But
I mean,
I couldn't think of one.
It's not a pure one, but I think like, and I'm really stretching the definition here with the game Fujikoro, I think is the game. You're inside of a volcano and you're trying to pick up these like elements to put in your inventory. And I really like this about this game, which was you put the items in your inventory, like you'd put like wood, they're cubes and like a grid. And then you'd take steel and you put them in a grid and you'd make like a little like pixelated sword. And that is a sword that exists in your inventory. But that also affects like other items you can put in your inventory.
Right.
So a sword would be like a really good weapon, but it takes up a lot of space and it's not very efficient with your space. You know what I mean? And that is like you pick up items from the main board and you deliver them to your board and it becomes a sword. But that really stretches the definition.
Yeah. Like the ones that kept coming into my head and probably just from an aesthetic standpoint was like games like Railroad Inc. Mm-hmm. But again, it's more route building as opposed to pick up and deliver. And you're making your own thing. Mm-hmm. So you're using the common dice roll, but and the playing on your own board. But yeah, I wouldn't call that pick up and deliver.
No, yeah, I wouldn't either. All right. So is it on me for variation?
Yeah, number 3? It's on you. That's pretty much what I had for just variation. I know you said you you went on a deep dive. So
yeah.
Go so for it.
This is my last one. We can talk about what you found. My last note. So mine is a twist I'd like to see is to bring an item to someone for a cooperative or competitive purpose. And I go back to the beginning here when I talk about Forbidden Desert as a cooperative game that has pick up and deliver, because you all kind of need to work together to bring together these items for this flying machine so you can all take off together. I kind of see this right now, and you brought this up too, Bri, with Brass Birmingham, of creating the network and the goods that are necessary for the quote unquote, like, next order to be fulfilled. I've only played the game twice, but the first time I played, I saw that, like, in later stages, you need beer to deliver. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, I have the best positioning right now to make some beer, and I'm going to put some beer on the board because it looks like people need that later in the game. And that's what I did. So I think that, and you describe Brass Birmingham the same way, where it's like kind of semi-cooperative because you kind of need other people's routes to be built out in order for you to deliver something.
Reluctant cooperative. Cooperation. Reluctantly cooperative.
Yeah, yeah. It's like you want to help other people the least amount, right? But help you more, right?
Yes, yes.
I would like to see more games like that because I think that's a really cool kind of decision space to make decisions in.
Yeah, I liked that as well because it's not as hostile for people that don't like the take thats. Mm-hmm. But it's still very, I consider Brass to be very competitive still.
Yeah. It's a great game. I'm glad I got
that part. Yeah. And not, I think the only challenge really is that it can be very front loaded for people to learn. It feels like it's going to be really heavy. And I will say the strategy can be a little brain burny.
Yeah.
But I enjoy that one a lot.
The first time I played, I didn't really concentrate on making the best decision. I was just like, what are some good decisions I can make right now? And then selecting one of those decisions and just committing to it. Because I was like, this is the first time I'm playing. I'm going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
All right. Those are my, that's my last twist and variation. Anything for you?
Nope, that's all for me.
Okay.
And actually, I didn't do too much on Evolution again because I know you had done a deep dive here. So I don't know if you want to lead off
on Evolution,
this segment of Evolution.
I would just say that I really like this mechanic. I talked about some twists and variations that I'd like to see. It's we talked about Air Sloop, which is a game I designed and Brian co-developed with me. I like it. I'd like to see it in other games. I'd like to see some variations on it. I don't really have a quiz on it other than the fact that, like, hey, these are pick up and deliver games. We played a bunch of these. We cited a lot in this episode.
Yeah.
I see myself, you know, continuing to play this into the future. And I just hope that I just hope it can be iterated on because I think it has a lot of potential to do some cool things with it.
Yeah, it's not If someone asks me to think about mechanics that I enjoy, I don't know if I generally think of pick up and deliver, but after going through the research episodes, like, I generally do like this mechanic in most games.
Yeah.
It's just, it doesn't always have to be the primary mechanic, but it's just feels, again, it's simple and it feels good to just, I got to take this thing and I got to bring it over there and I can do this stuff on the way, or I can block this other guy, or I can steal his stuff or whatever it is. I agree. I'm sure it's a staple and here to stay. So I'm not too concerned. I'd like to see it continue to be used in interesting ways.
Exactly. Cool. Should we close it out?
All right. Yeah. I think that's it for this one. Listeners, I hope we picked up your day and delivered some entertainment. Yeah. that wraps up our pick up and deliver episode of AP Table Talk. If you'd like to hear more content like this, please be sure to subscribe. You can also check out more of our content, projects, and other information about us at universityxp.com.
Thanks for joining us. We'd also love if you take some time to rate the show so we lift others with learning. So if you found this episode useful, consider sharing it with someone who could also benefit. Until next time, game on.